Okay, today what we're going to do is we're going to just continue from where we left off last week. Okay, last week we actually went through introduction. We have a case study of Mr. Wang. All right. I'm thankful actually we had that discussion. We were able to kind of clarify some things for at least one of our members. I was able to go to the house and share how that when a person doesn't trust Christ and have not heard the good news that Jesus Christ died for them, God has no choice but to still send them to the lake of fire, not because He wants to, but because He has to. All right, that's a very important point for us to understand, and painful, and it goes against the logic. It goes against how humans think. How can a God of love send people to hell even before they heard the gospel? It's difficult, but you know what? That's what the Bible says. And also, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ had to give Himself, all right, to save us from our sin. Okay, so that's the starting point. And also, we've learned that being a witness for Christ is true. Let's turn to Isaiah 43. What I'm going to do, just do a quick recap from last week. Okay, Isaiah 43, in verse 10, the Bible says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses." Okay, God says that God wants us to know Him first, and then He wants us to make Him known. Being a witness for Christ is not a choice. Being a witness for Christ is not a choice. God has called us to be witnesses because He says, "Ye are my witnesses." It's not a choice. If our life don't reflect Christ, based on this verse, we are being disobedient to God. Okay, so that's something that I want us to sit in our minds. Remember, we will give an account one day to the Lord. And so, let's start off with that. And then after that, we talked about some ways to share, some ways to witness. The first way we talked about was sharing with our booklet, basically just to go through with them, read with them. Another way is to share with your testimony. Then one way is to share with pictures, okay? And afterwards, we will practice, okay? We will practice with one another. Okay, sharing the gospel with someone in pictures, okay? And then after that, sharing your faith after the service, or after the, what do you do, what do you say? And then sharing our faith by prayer, okay? Now, what we're going to do today is basically to look at what happens after if a person trusts Christ. What should we do after a person trusts Christ? And what must we do as Christians? Okay, let's turn to the book of Luke 22. These verses are not inside your notes, so you probably have to. You have to write it down. Now I want to give you a picture of what happens in the spiritual realm. What does the devil wants to do first? Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22 and verse. Let's have a word of prayer before we start. Excuse me, oh, that was loud, huh? Sorry, wake people up. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You that we can come before Your presence to pray. And Lord, we are grateful that we are here today. Lord, we are grateful that we can sit in Your presence to learn from You. And Father, I pray that Thy mercy and Thy grace, that of the things that You have brought us through this week, will constantly remind us that, Lord, we are here today because of You. And there's no one else, Father, in this whole wide world that has sustained us but You. The breath that we breathe, the food that we have, the strength that we have to even work. Lord, we think of the many people in hospital, many people that has to be rushed to hospital because they are so weakened already. But yet, Lord, You are sustaining us. And Lord, we come before You to beg Your mercies again, a grace, that our hearts will be surrendered to You, Lord, in the understanding of Your word. And Father, that we will take the next step of faith. And for some who are not here today, Lord, if it's by a consequence or something that's happened, or maybe they are sick, I ask, Lord, that You raise them up. But Lord, if they're not here by choice, I pray, Father, that you would touch them in a way that will help them understand that when we need to be in the presence of God as a people of God. And so, Father, I pray even as we learn these things to understand with regards to what should we do with a young convert, I ask, Father, that you burn our hearts with your love and compassion and then spur us to action, Lord, for your honor and glory. Thank you for what you're going to do. Help us to encourage one another in these things, because these are the things you want us to remember. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 22 and verse number 31. Okay? Luke 22, verse 31. Let me just read. I'll read verse 31, then you read verse 32 until there's only two verses. Let's just read the two verses. Luke 31 and 32. Ready? 1, 2, go. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Here the Lord Jesus Christ showed Peter something which humanly we will not know. Neither did Peter know about it. It begins with Peter, Peter. And when God in the Bible, there are only a few instances that God actually calls someone twice in the same sentence. For example, Samuel, Samuel. Okay? God did call him two times. And then here, Peter, Peter. It actually indicates the Lord Jesus earnestly trying to get the attention of Peter. Okay? And so Jesus says, Simon, Simon, look, behold, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. You know what it means to sift as wheat? Okay, in the so-called modern translation, or he's an independent Baptist, but he translated it this way. Satan has desired thee that he may thresh you as wheat. You know, when you take wheat, right? Before you even sift the wheat, they'll take the wheat and they will thresh the wheat. They will actually have to thresh the wheat. Satan has desired you that he may thresh you as wheat. In other words, Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may destroy you. Okay? That's what Jesus was referring to. But thank God, verse 32, but I've prayed for you. So, but thank God for one thing. The Lord Jesus said, I've prayed for you. There's an assurance that no matter how hard Satan fights against us, Jesus is praying for us, and therefore that we are thankful. But I want us from this verse to understand Satan's intention. The devil's intention. The devil's intention, no matter how young or how old you are as a Christian, Satan's intention is to make you absolutely useless in God's service. Okay? That is Satan's intention. He wants to destroy and thresh us as wheat. Okay, so that's one verse. Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3 is towards the last part of the Old Testament, the third last book. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. Zechariah 3 verse 1. And just read and just listen. And it would be useful for us to maybe just highlight this passage if you have in your handphones or whatever. Just highlight that. If not in your Bibles, you highlight. Something happens in the heavenlies. Okay, there are many people who say, I've seen God and all that. It's very hard to understand. Okay, what they say, or very hard to believe what they say, because it's based on man's word. But here, God actually showed us something that happened in the heavens. Verse 1, and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Okay, so Joshua was a sinner. He was filled with filthy garments. And in verse 4, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments before him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. In this situation, we see two things. One, Satan standing in heaven. Apparently right now, Satan has the right to trespass or go between heaven and earth. He has the right to go into the presence of God. Why? Because he constantly has to ask permission from God before he even tempts or try to give trials to God's children. But here, the Bible says that Satan was actually resisting Joshua. Okay, he was actually resisting Joshua. You know what it means? Satan does all he can, even in the presence of God, to accuse us. To accuse us before God. Why? To destroy us, to damage us, to say, ah, God. Remember what did Satan say about Job? God, you think Job is worshipping you for naught? You make his life so comfortable. Or you give him everything. Or take everything from him and then see whether he'll curse you to your face. Okay. But thank God once again, notice what God said in verse 4. Take away the filthy garments from him and said unto him, he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee. See, the Lord Jesus intervenes for us again. Thank God for that. Okay, as much as Satan wants to destroy us, Jesus intercedes for us. We thank God for that. Can I say this? The fact that you are still a Christian today is because of God's grace. I hope you don't ever forget that. The reason why you are still in church wanting to serve God is because of God's grace. Because Satan does all he can to destroy us. Let's turn to another one. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. First Peter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, let's read together, ready? First Peter 5, 8, ready? 1, 2, begin. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Okay? The devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking anyone that he could destroy. Okay? The Bible is very clear from that. And based on these three verses, what would you think Satan's intention is for new believers? For young but people who have just trusted Christ, what do you think would be Satan's intention? Sorry? Put negative thoughts in them. What else? Sorry? Destroy. How does Satan practically destroy a new believer? Sorry? Tempt him? How does what does he do to tempt him? Sorry?
Giving you your weak points.
Weak points, yeah?
Casting doubts.
Casting doubts, okay, on your salvation. Are you really saved? What else? Discouragement, yes. What else? Giving you opportunities to sin and go back to your old life. Okay, what else? Anything else? Sorry? Give you half truth? Okay? The reason why I believe God wants us to understand this is this. For those who started in the Master Baptist mission, we went through the 8 principles. Okay? And one of the things about the 8 principles is this. One of the principles was association. Meaning that when a young believer gets saved, this crowd, the young believer, is very susceptible to false gods without the proper care. Unless we are able to help them to grow in the proper way, many of the new believers will go back to the world. Okay? The reason why I have to bring that out is the Ambassador Baptist Church. We have won, thank God, people who have come to our church and have trusted Christ. My burden as pastor, and hope it will be transferred to us as a congregation, many of these people have gone back to the world, those who have trusted Christ. Okay? And I'm asking God to help us to have a heart to say, Lord, what should we do with these young believers? You realize how much we had to fight to win them out of the enemy's territory. But after they are saved, they don't have the proper care. Alright? Let's turn to John chapter 21, which I believe that is why the Lord Jesus actually tells Peter to do this. John chapter 21. John chapter 21 and verse 15. I want you to listen to the heart of the Lord Jesus. Jesus was doing two things here. Number one, to restore Peter. But number two, to give him a very important commission. In verse 15, Jesus said in John 21, so when they had dined, after they have eaten their breakfast, just like us now, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto thee, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him again, feed my lambs. You know what that means? Feed my lambs. The lambs has to do with a young sheep. A lamb, a young sheep. And so when Jesus told them to feed the lambs, he means, I want you to take care of these little ones for me. I want you to take care of the little ones for me. And then he goes on in verse 16. He says to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. The word feeding sheep has to do with those who might be slightly older in the faith. Okay, the lambs, the sheep. And then in verse 17, he saith unto him the third time. Oh, we need to switch off our handphones. You need to switch it off. Really turn it to silent, okay, because there will be interference. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. The Lord Jesus was actually giving a very important principle to the Peter. And he expected Peter to do this as the shepherd. He says, I want you to feed. I want you to feed. I want you to feed. And that's what I try to do on Friday, on Saturday during the youth, and on Sunday Bible hour, and on Sundays. Okay, and any informal time that I sit with you. So if you just come for Sunday, I want to say one thing. Sunday is non-negotiable Bible truth for Sunday worship service. You just come for the service. It's what thus saith the Lord. Okay, for the service is for edification of believers to walk with Christ, and also it's for evangelism. So if you just come for the Sunday service, you will see the same trend of services, the same trend of the message, because that is the time that God wants to speak specifically to you. All right, okay. However, in Sunday Bible, we go through things like that. We can ask questions. We learn from the Bible. Does that make sense? So I strongly encourage all of us to attend all Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Friday and Sundays. Okay, and don't miss it for anything, because that's the time that the feeding goes on. Okay, now even for FBI, also is a very, very important thing. Correspondent course, okay, you need to be there. So, Jesus tells Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to feed my sheep. Okay, let's turn to Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Galatians 4, 19. I just give you the background, and then after I'll just give you some points from there. Galatians 4:19. This is what Paul says. We are not the apostle. We are not full-time. Some people say we're not full-time. But you know what? The discipleship of young believers fall on the Christians, because a pastor cannot disciple 1,000 people or 3,000 or 300 people or 10 people even sometimes. But in Galatians 4:19, the Bible says, let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Can I ask you a question for ladies who have given birth? When the baby is starting to come out, the pain starts, right? And you keep on pushing and pushing. How many of you had labor, okay, for more than 10 hours? Any of the ladies? Men, sorry. Huh? Sister Mas. How many hours? How many hours? 16 hours? How many hours? More than half a day means what? 24? Huh? 12 hours, okay. So anyone more than 12 hours? 16 hours? No? My wife holds the record, 30 hours, and after that, still cannot come out, must cut. Okay, so if there's anyone more than 30, let me know. Okay, she was totally exhausted already. So she, assign. Cesarean. Okay. She was 30 hours. I think Sir Wei Chen, remember when Jeremiah went in, it's like My wife went in for Jeremiah to come out. Xixian, I think Sister Su Wei visited, and haven't come out yet. Remember? And really at night, it was about, I remember about 10:30 and all that. Said, cannot already. I mean, she was without food for 24 hours, and she has to push, and still it doesn't, things are not happening, just not happening. Okay, so 30 hours. But you know what? She had to travail all the way. At the end, do drastic measure just to bring Jeremiah into this world. And God had a plan, okay? God had a plan. You know what Paul said? The pain that the mother goes through to bring out a child into this world that will be useful for the Lord is the same thinking that Paul has here. He says, well, I travail until Christ be formed in you. In other words, Paul is in constant tears, he's in constant prayer, he's in constant effort, he's in constant sacrificing of himself so that the Galatians Christian will become Christ-like. Okay? The effort that Paul pours into every young believer in Galatia. So he was Paul can scold them, Paul can encourage them, Paul can guide them, Paul would do all he can. Paul prays for them constantly until Christ be formed in you. Okay? Can I say this as a Christian? Your absolute priority in your Christian life is not your studies. Your absolute priority in Christian life is not anything that, you know, it's not your career. Your absolute priority is that you become like the Lord Jesus Christ in everything that He tells you to do. Okay? And parents, we need to ensure that to pray for our, this is discipleship. Because that is God's will. This is what Paul says. I travail until Christ be formed in you. Okay? And the word travail has to do with going through huge demands of effort in order for Jesus to be formed in you. So the Lord's plan with regards, number one, we've identified Satan's intention is to destroy every believer. Then people who would want to walk with God, you will find very quickly that Satan comes in to interrupt you. Some of you have been walking with God, now you're not. Some of you have been doing what God wants you to do, and you find that, well, after I do God's work, a lot of problems start to come in. Some of us begin to say, Lord, I'm going to serve you, and then you find that, Lord, you know what? Satan wants to destroy us, make us absolutely ineffective, all right, for God, okay? So, but what did Jesus say? What did Jesus actually say? She wants us to help one another grow. In other words, to disciple one another. Okay? And so his plan is this. The Lord needs men and women who can lead other men and women. Alright? We're talking about winning people to Christ and what to do in terms of follow-up. The Lord actually needs people to follow someone else up. Okay? Because the crowd was easy prey to false gods without proper care. Let's turn to Matthew 9. Okay, Matthew chapter 9 will tell us this. Please feel free to stop me, alright? If you don't agree or whatever, just feel free to stop me. Okay, but Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says in verse number 36, Matthew 9, 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Do you realize that there are many Christians today that is not being followed? How many of you honestly was followed up consistently by someone after you became a Christian? Put up your hand. Then after you became a Christian, someone actually consistently, okay, one, two, anyone else? Okay, anyone else? Many of us, thank God, by God's grace, we are still here today by the grace of God. But you know what, wouldn't it be better? How many of you, after you became a Christian, made many mistakes that you wish you hadn't made? We all made mistakes, yeah. But you know what, if someone who have guided us, we would have made less of a mistake. For example, I was in the Pentecostal Charismatic Movement, made a mess of my life as a young Christian. You know, I got saved in 1981, then I went there in 1984 to 1987, basically made a mess of my life there. And after that, when I went back again, still no one discipled me, but you know what? I thank God. Amen. God was with us all the time. He was discipling us. As we read God's word, God was taking care of us. But you know what? God doesn't want us to leave it to chance. Does that make sense? Because He said in the Great Commission, teach all nations, baptize them, and then teach them all things whatsoever God has commanded you. Does that make sense? And so, the Lord Jesus is looking for people to help someone continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. Okay? So, the Lord needs men, not just men and women, but people who are willing to be trained and be competent to help another person. The plan, the Lord Jesus has a simple plan. He will choose the men or whoever they are willing to come. He will give them of His Spirit. He will fill them with His love. He will give them His word. And after they have been controlled by the Lord, they just go out and help someone else become like Christ. That's the simple plan Jesus has, okay? Does it? Any questions up to there? So I just give you the background of how to follow up these people. Because I can tell you one of the things that many of the missionaries on the field will say, it is irresponsible of a church that when, as soon as they want someone to Christ, leave them out in the cold for the devil to attack them once again. I think in our minds, I hope in our minds, my burden is for those people who have trusted Christ and was baptized in the Ambassador Baptist Church, but no longer are they walking with God after 2 years. I don't know whether that affects you or not. That affects me as pastor. And I hope as a church, we will be affected, because if the Great Commission was not just given to the pastor, it was given to the entire church. We are all responsible. And we need to have at least not just the understanding, but in our heart, say, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? Any questions? Okay, let's. What do we do after a person comes to Christ? Okay, for those who do have the notes, okay, from last week, there's anyone? You all have the notes from last week? Okay, I didn't print anymore. So, if you have the notes from last week, am I? If you don't have, just listen. I'm sure it's somewhere at home. But what to do immediately after follow up? Okay, what to do with a believer after he trusts Christ? Immediately after that, okay. I'll just read through some very practical points, and after I want to spend some time actually practicing with one another. Okay. How to share the gospel in pictures. I've got paper here. So, okay. Firstly, if at all possible, schedule to meet people who have come personally to know Jesus Christ as Savior. In other words, when a person trusts Christ, immediately after 48 hours, if you've led someone to Christ, you know what? The principle is immediately go and try to make some contact with that person. Okay? Try to make contact with that person. Remember, Satan is there to steal God's word from the young believer's heart. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4, verse 13 to 15. Let me just read this. Mark chapter 4, verse 13 to 15. And he saith unto them, know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? Verse 14, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Can I say this? When you listen to the word that I'm speaking now, and there is no intention of even listening, I'm not saying there is. If someone who hears God's word and doesn't have any intention, Satan is the one who comes and take it away. Take it away. That's what he does. So when a new believer comes to Christ, immediately a lot of things will start coming in. Okay? You know what? In order to help the babe in Christ grow, we need to immediately go, understand what's happening, protect the little baby from the evil one, and start helping and nurturing this young one to grow. All right, that's exactly what Jesus is teaching us now. And so that's why what I'm showing you is some of the follow-up strategies that some of the people have used in the past. Okay, number one, if at all, meet with them, preferably within 48 hours, maximum 72 hours. Okay, to actually get to them. So immediately SMS them, call them, and can I meet up with you, you know? Maybe just to reinforce, assure them of their faith once again. And then after we have met with them, we must be there to encourage the young believer, number one. Number two, invite the person to your church and encourage faithful attendance. You will find that in Singapore, that's one of the hardest things. Oh, come to church, yeah. Okay, I'll share with the men. I will share in the church camp, all right? And I hope everyone will come to the church camp. The move towards a discipleship church, okay, in terms of what we're going to do, All right. The idea is actually have smaller groups, but we'll go through in detail the plan in the church camp. But you know what? If they can't come to church, then go on Friday or go to the discipleship groups that they will be being structured. Because the new believer needs a group of believers to protect this young believer. And as a whole group, rather than one person following this person up, a whole group can help to bring up this young person. Okay? Invite the person to your church, to the discipleship group, encourage faithful attendance, surround him with Christians who love God and are walking by his Spirit. Everyone who have trusted Christ in Ambassador Baptist Church got baptized and now no longer walking with God. You know what is the problem? The key problem is that they have their friends and they kept going back to their friends when God's people have not surrounded them. And that's so important. Now, I can try to meet up with them once a week. Once a week, once an hour is not going to help. But you know what? If as a whole, we may not be able to everyone meet, but there's SMS and make it a point on Sundays rather than setting your own appointment. I'm just saying it. But you say, let's go for lunch with a new believer. You know how encouraged that person will be when I first came to MBC, Maranatha Baptist Church? You know, the first thing was someone sat with me already. I was so encouraged, you know what? They're very... Then after that, they keep calling me and encouraging me. You know, at the younger days of MBC, they grew by leaps and bounds. You know why? The people were always constantly with the young believers. You know? And this is something that we need to cultivate as a habit. We need to cultivate this as a habit, okay? Invite the people, surround the people, surround these young believers, just like, you know, noticing Sister Kim just now, you know, I understand here there are little flies and mosquitoes around. And what does he do? Mosquito come, shoo the mosquito away from the little one. We need to be shooing the mosquitoes of sin and mosquitoes of the temptations of this world away from our little one. Why? Because we need the little one in Christ to grow. And we need to protect them. Because at a young age, can I say this, just as a baby has very low immunity, a young Christian has very low immunity to the sins of this world. So that's why we need to surround them, okay? Number three, spend time with those you're following out and discipling. Your impact in anyone's life is directly related to your relationship with that person. In other words, if you have to sacrifice your favorite golf game, how many of you play golf? I think so. Maybe. Okay, something. If you have to sacrifice golf, then sacrifice golf. If you have to sacrifice sleep, then sacrifice sleep. That's what mothers do, right? For their babies. That's what fathers do sometimes, right? For their babies. Okay? We may need to just sacrifice to be with this person. Remember, discipleship is not informing someone else. Discipleship is infecting someone else with your life. Okay? It is not teaching about Christ, but it's about transferring the image of Christ from yourself to the other person. This is a very important point. Discipleship as a church, but also, you know what, as parents, your goal is to transfer the likeness of Jesus Christ. In other words, you need to be practicing the habits of Jesus and then transfer that to your children. Does it make sense? And that's discipleship. And the closer you are to anyone, the greater the chance they will catch the sinful disease. Because you're protecting them, just like a mother protects the child, okay? Okay? So meet the person within 48 hours and 2 hours, invite the person to church, spend time with them, and pray continuously for those who follow up. Pray continuously for them. I'm sure, and parents, you pray continuously for your children. We need to identify one person that God is laying on our hearts to follow up and pray continuously. God protect them, God protect them, God protect them, God protect them, God protect them. Okay? We may teach and encourage those we follow up, but only God can cause them to grow. Agree? Only God can cause them to grow. I'm thankful that there are people who are actively trying to follow people up. Can I say this? If you are doing that and the people are not responding, it is not your problem. You need to keep praying for them. You need to keep going to them as much as you can within the time that God has given to you, but pray earnestly for them. Get God to do for you what you cannot do. Does it make sense? Get God to do. God, change their hearts. God, you know, this person has this liking for this particular area that is wrong and it's going to pull away. God, maybe they have friends. Maybe, Lord, I pray that you do something to break that. Or maybe the person is undergoing some problems that is drawing them away from Christ. Say, Lord, help them in this problem so that they might bring them to Christ. Okay? So, in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Okay? As you disciple, number 5, as you disciple the individual, pray that the disciple will grow to the point of discipling someone else. Okay? Because that's the end goal of discipleship. The idea is, at the end of the day, as Ambassador Baptist Church grows, everyone will actually have a strong faith that says, I'm going to teach someone else, to then go and teach someone else. Alright? Any questions up to there? Let's turn to 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. Let's read that together, okay? 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. Ready? Let's read together. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. Ready? 1, 2, begin. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Okay, that is the plan of spiritual multiplication. Now, in a setting like this, many people don't ask questions. So many of us will actually do this, I believe. Okay, finish Sunday school, close, go home. I want us to be praying, okay, seriously, because what we're going to do is, in the Easter evangelistic meetings, we want to practice what we have learned. It's an opportunity for us as a church to practice what we've learned, okay? So we're going to do one thing right now, okay? For those who came last week, remember the pictures of evangelism? I still have them, I believe. Hang on. Okay, remember we could share the gospel in pictures with people. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to ask you to divide yourself in groups of two, okay? Not husband and wife, because you'll probably giggle, giggle, giggle. But you is someone else, all right? Okay, all right? Can you just divide yourselves into two first? Then I'll tell you what to do. And just two, just two percent, okay? If you're sitting beside someone, it's fine. Okay, maybe Brother Mike and Brother Tay Leong and that kind of thing. Just two and two. Okay, two and two. Okay? Okay, make sure you have a partner. Okay, make sure you just have a partner. Okay, what we're going to do is I'm going to review with you. Remember sharing the gospel in pictures? It'll be quite fun. Right? Okay, remember sharing the gospel in pictures? Okay? Okay, this is the first picture for those who didn't come last week. Okay? What you need to do is, I'll give you a piece of paper. Everyone will have one, all right? When you share the gospel with someone, the first picture that you draw is actually God and stick figure. You think you can do that? Pretty straightforward, right? God and stick figure. God and stick figure. Oh. She needs to be safe. Okay, no. God and stick figure, okay? And what you do is, if you like to add this or so, you generally with this particular picture, the things you say is two things. Number one, God made all men perfect. Right? Genesis 1:31. God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Okay, number one. Number two, in Ecclesiastes 7:29, behold, this have I known, that God had made man upright. So God and man, upright. Okay, what happened? Next one, you just draw this, okay? Just draw a bridge separating the two. Okay, if you want to copy down, you can. Okay? So this separates God from the stick figure. So man sinned in Genesis 3, you can relate the story, Adam and Eve sinned, and Romans 5:12 says, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Okay? If there's other verses that comes to your mind, go ahead and share. So basically here, you can actually write the word sin here as well. Okay? And then of course, the third picture is just... The picture is... The Lord Jesus Christ came to bridge that gap. Okay? And then you can use John 3:16. You can use Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? One more that's not there, they need to put their faith in Christ. And that's where you have to say, would you like to trust Christ last time? Okay? Now, how are we going to do this? Let me just, Agnes, you can help me just pass the paper out. Everyone will have one. And as the paper is being passed around, just try to listen, all right? Now, what's going to happen is, I'm going to say, all right, you are dismissed. Okay? It's after the evangelistic service on the 6th, 7th, and 8th, okay? Filipinos as well, you have your evangelistic service. So it's after the service already, I say, okay, well, you are dismissed. Okay, let's fellowship. And that's where you turn to the next person and you begin asking them, how do you find the service? Okay, is it possible if I share with you the gospel? How about that? Okay, are you ready? Any problems? Don't go to toilet lah. Oh, you want a band? Okay. It's not being awkward, but you know, it has to be natural. And so I want us to practice. We have about 10, 15 minutes and that's it. And then after we'll close already. Okay. But I want us to get into the habit and I want us to be able to develop this simple skill of just turning to someone and say, how do you find the service? Hi, my name is so-and-so and how are you today? And how do you find the service? Don't talk about lunch, okay? Key thing is, don't talk about lunch. Don't come up. Don't stand up and stack chairs. The typical habit of Ambassador Baptist people. Come up, stack chairs. Don't stack chairs. Don't do anything, all right? Don't check your handphones. Okay, that's what people do. What you do is, immediately after service, after say, okay, we'll dismiss this fellowship, you turn to each other, okay, you can take turns. Try to control yourself, okay? But you know what, when there's real, okay? Ken? Alright, okay, are you ready? Okay, everyone needs to be able to do that, huh? Everyone needs to be able to do that, okay? Ken? Okay, so have you all decided who's going to start first? Okay, you all need to decide who wants to start first. Okay? Okay, have you decided? All right, okay, well, we've finished our service and yes. Okay, yeah, okay, the verses are, the second picture for sin is Romans 5:12. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed by all men, for all have sinned. Okay? You can also use Genesis 3. You can actually relate the story of the fall of man. Okay? So these are the two verses. But if there are other verses that have come to your mind, Genesis chapter 3 basically is relating the story of the fall of man. So you can actually open your Bible and then point how man fell. Okay? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's in another verse. Okay, you will find that there are many, many so-called strategies or methods to share the gospel, but I think we just need to stick with a simple one. So that, you know, you can do it at your lunchtime, you can do it dinner time with your friends and all that kind of thing. Okay? Simple strategy. Ready? Okay, you have decided who already, huh? Okay, for those who just come in, you just maybe attach yourself to one group of two so that you can see what they are doing. Okay? Alright, well, thank you for your attention. Our service is over. Let's just stay back for some fellowship. There'll be lunch later on as well. Okay. All right. We actually have a lot of resources, so I'm glad now, right, we're actually actively using that. Keep it in your Bible. Whenever you speak to people, study some of the things. It will give you a lot of information. How to begin, what to say, how to explain, and which Bible verse to go to. It's all here. Okay. So what I've given to you just now was just something straight that you can use straight away. Okay. And so that in an evangelistic meeting on the 6th of April, 7th of April, and 8th of April, we can share that with the people that come. All right? And so any questions? Any questions? And I'm hoping that people will come next week on March 31st, whereby we will fast and pray, because our theme is God give us boldness to speak. That we just open our mouth to the person beside us to share the gospel. Okay? And some of you may say, oh, Rajani, very hard. Nah. Very hard. But you have a tool already. Just use it and just ask the Lord, use me to win someone to Christ. And you'll be surprised what God can do. Okay? Any questions? Any questions? Any questions? Okay, maybe one last point. What were the difficulties very quickly that you find when you were talking to your friend? What are some difficulties that you experienced? Someone don't want to listen? Well, okay. Okay. So what do you do?
Get them involved in
the conversation. Okay, ask questions. What else? And engage them. Yeah, keep on. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand why this one? And get them. What? So, okay, the key thing is you're not lecturing that person. Okay, get in. You see, do you understand that God has God made us perfect? Let me show you from this verse. You read it. And so the person needs to be involved. Okay? I think the worst thing is for someone to just sit down and as you are trying to go through the gospel presentation. You need to ask God for wisdom to engage. Remember Philip in Acts chapter 8, how did he engage the Ethiopian eunuch? What's the first question he asked? Understand this? Do you understand the message? Do you understand what you're reading? Just open it, ask them. Maybe you can use that, Acts chapter 8. Do you understand the message? And then if it would you like me to explain which part are you sure or which part are you not sure? Basically open up the conversation to get things going. So remember, when you share the gospel, it's not like you better be safe and therefore listen. It's not like that. They need to know that you care. They need to know. Remember, when you share the gospel, it's not about telling them the gospel, it's about sharing them the love of Christ through the way you bring it up. Okay? Yeah, the tone is important, the message is even more important. The tone sets the stage for you to at least get the gospel in, so that when they understand, okay, I don't say you better believe in Christ. I had one friend, his name is Chris Hicks, he's a deacon for another church. He said he remembered when he got saved, he didn't get saved actually, he was in the service, and the deacon said, you better trust Christ as a savior, otherwise you die and go to hell. Come, let's bow down and let's ask Christ now. It's like, it's in Australia. Okay, we don't do that, alright? A person needs to understand the gospel. Remember, for a person to trust Christ, number one, there must be intellectual understanding. There must be intellectual understanding. And then there must be heartfelt acceptance. Okay? And then there must be the confession of the faith. Because the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Don't just go for, yes, I want to trust Christ. Sometimes they say the so-called sinner's prayer just to get you off their back. I think you know that. Okay, yeah, I've trusted Christ, let's go for lunch. Alright? Okay, yeah, I understand already, I trusted Christ already. And so the idea is just get rid of you. Okay? But make sure that there's that friendship, make sure that you can attach to them. And you know, after that, eat with them and just be a friend. And you'll be surprised what God can do. And after that, when they see the love of Christ through you, okay? Because you're not only sharing with them the message, but you, in your way that you're doing, you're saying, I don't just care about you becoming a Christian, I care about you as a person, and I want God's love to be transmitted to you as well. Alright? Okay, any questions? Any difficulties that people find besides us rambling on? What if people have difficult questions? Just now there was one question here. Where is God? How do you know there's a God? If there's a God, why is there suffering in this world? Study this before the 6th of April. No, okay. If you feel that you can't explain, there are many people in church that can. Okay, that will be able to share. If you really really hard pressed, you can ask me. I'm going to give you a simple format that you can follow. Okay, this is a very important question. A lot of people say, if there's a God of love, then why is there so much suffering in this world? Why am I going through all this? Okay, always start here very quickly in 1 minute. Always start from the fact that when God made man, he made man perfect. Everything was A-okay. There was no sin. Everything was perfect. Okay? There was no problems. There was no marital discord. There was no sin. There was no disease. There was no nothing. Everything was just perfect. Even work was fun. Okay? But then again, you share with them Genesis 3. But what happened to break all that when man chose to sin against God? God still loved them. But men chose to go their own way. See, once you go down that road, hopefully, at least if they are logical, they can follow the biblical argument. You can actually begin to share with them how Jesus Christ then came to save us. Okay? Alright? They may ask another question. We say, if God knew that all these things was going to happen, So how? You know, why did he create man in the first place? How do you answer that? If God knew that all this sin was going to happen, why did God make man in the first place? Any answers? Well, Robert, how would you answer that? Or anyone? How would you answer that? If God knew that all these things were going to happen, why did he create in the first place? Okay.
But he knew that they were going to fall anyway. But why did he still do that?
Yeah. So how do you answer that?
He's a God who knows before, right?
Yeah.
But if he knew that he's going to...
I also questioned myself last time. Yeah. How come God puts the tree of...
Tree of life.
Tree of life.
Yes.
In the midst of that.
Yeah.
I asked this question before. And one of my friends told me the reason why God put them because of free will to choose.
Uh-huh.
That is the higher ground of animals. Animals cannot choose. They have to do it anyway.
We understand that we are a mortal being.
Yes.
But then he knew that they were going to sin, right?
Yes.
So why did he still...
So how would you answer? So how would you answer the question? Okay. Okay. Come for FBI. Okay, it's useful. It's very simple, and what Brother Robert says too. You know, God made in all men a free will. If God knew that we're going to fall, and so he prevented us from falling, our love to God would not be perfected. In other words, it would not be a choice that we choose to love God. Think about that. Okay. God made us with a free will. Genuine love cannot be genuine love if it is not by free will. Example, let's say in some situations in the world when people have to marry someone else is because something happened. And so the love is because of something happened. Maybe they have a child, and they're not trying to get to... So the love is not perfect because it was because of something that happened. Whereas if there's nothing that happened, and still that person is willing to give themselves totally to the other person by free will, that's genuine love. Does that make sense?
You're right to say that actually God gave us a chance to choose the other way. But you're thinking that he already know we're going to sin. Just like, when the Israelites, when the Moses is given...
I don't know about Israel and Moses. I'm still... I'm
okay, steady, like, steady. No, she's just trying to explain.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So
the question is, why does God take the trouble to bring us through all this if he already know that it's going to happen?
Another question is,
Let's answer one by one because otherwise, do you know what I'm saying? Okay. So we have to settle the first one first.
Yeah.
Why did God go through all this trouble if he already knew man's going to fall in the first place? And the answer is, God wants us to choose. Do we want to follow our own way, or do we want to follow God's way? So in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life was given. In fact, I can tell you, for Adam and Eve to sin, they must really go against what God, because number one, perfect environment, perfect relationship with God, perfect marital problem. They had no marital problems, okay? Perfect provision. You can eat of any tree in the whole wide world. You don't, but it's just one. Just one. Guess why they choose to eat. And so the choice was made. Very obviously, God, no, I'm going to choose my way. And that's where sin fell. Does that make sense? And so, time and again, I think Sir Charlie was saying, time and again, God protected the children of Israel in the wilderness again and again. Basically, just saying, look, I'm doing this. Are you going to turn back? Yeah, turn back. I'm going to do this. Because, let's turn to Exodus. I'll just finish off his zone because time is running out. This is a very Exodus chapter 20. Let the word of God speak for himself. Okay, Exodus chapter 20, and then after that we have to close. We can discuss this over coffee afterwards. Exodus chapter 20, verse 19 and 20. Let me read and then hear what God says. Okay, Exodus chapter 20, verse 19. And they said unto Moses, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said unto the people, "Notice, fear not, for God is come to what? Prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces that ye sin not." What is God? Why did God give the Ten Commandments? To prove, to test whether we will follow God. And did the Israelites obey? Again and again. God has just delivered them from Israel 400 years in bondage. God just took them out, opened the Red Sea, fed them in the wilderness. Did they sin? So what was the choice they made? Constantly against God. And God says, that's why you need the Savior. And he points to the cross. And even at the cross, what did Jesus say? Whosoever will may come. That's the difference between people who believe the Bible and people who believe Lordship Salvation, people who believe Calvinism. Okay? Because salvation is a free gift. It's our free will. Does it make sense? Okay? So just like a father who knows that, a good example I give you, the last one, the very last one, Jeremiah wanted to touch durian. You know, durian, when you touch the durian, you get hurt, right? If I know that if Jeremiah touches the durian, he will get hurt. So I said, please don't touch. What did he do? Go and touch. And then he, out! I didn't stop him because I wanted him to learn. And thank God, from then on, he never touched durian again. But you know what? We don't have to go through that if we just learn to listen to God first. Right? Okay, let's close in one more prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this interesting discussion. I pray, Father, that it will not just be an intellectual exercise, but God, that it will give us a burden in our hearts. When we remember what you have done for us, God, we were unworthy. We were just walking along life's road. We're just doing what we want and headed down, Lord, the great path of destruction. You sent someone to share with us the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone cared enough to open the word, open their mouth, give their time just to share the word of life with us. Father, thank you for that person. We pray and we are eternally grateful for you using that person as a vessel. But Lord, right now, use us as vessels. And God, you know, not only for evangelistic meeting, but Father, every Sunday there will be people with needs. I pray, God, that you will use us in a powerful way. And with the strategies that we have learned today, God, those are just strategies. We can just do what we can. But God, unless you empower us, unless the word of God is spoken, unless the Holy Spirit uses thy word to speak to someone else's heart, Lord, they will never be saved. But God, I pray that every one of us will be equipped just to tell someone the words of life, at least in church, so that when they go home, they will have something to think about, and by your grace, they might be led to Christ. Oh, Father, please give us this burden to reach out to someone else before it's too late. Help us to use this in our workplaces. Help us to use this at home with our brothers and our sisters and our moms and our dads and our grandmoms and grandparents. Lord, I pray that you give us a heart for souls. Because the closer we are drawn to you, Lord, we will learn your habit of evangelism as well. Thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us in the service too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.